Okay, everybody, let's get it rolling. Can I have the roll call, please?
Adam?
Here.
Dannaway? Gibson?
Here.
Kepler?
Present.
Ormsby?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. All right, thank you. We had minutes from the last meeting.
I'll move we approve the minutes as drafted.
A second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of September 16th, 2020. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Okay, the minutes are approved. So good evening and welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission for October 21st, 2020. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters of zoning, land use, and such. We have a short agenda tonight with really two items with the same case, but there are a few people in the audience, so if there's a particular input you would like to provide, I will recognize the microphone at the basket at the back and ask for any comments you might have after the presentations of the cases so we can hear your input. We would love to hear it. And with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, this is 2550 right now, Northwest Bank Tower locale. It's proposed as a three-unit type of business at this location, and then also replatting into roughly two lots. We've had an amended plat that was submitted. A third lot was eliminated in this area. Now we have two lots for the plat. This is the original plat right here. And I believe that this area would be incorporated in there as well. This is what we originally saw submitted, was an area of a third lot. This has been incorporated now into this lot over here. Lot two remains the same, the boundaries. We have our three units right here of a mixture of retail and office and restaurant. And one can approach this site from this direction off of Spruce Hills or from Middle Road and then come into the area. There's also stacking here for a drive-up window. And we have a drive-through area here with parking out front here. There's also the landscaping plan did meet the code as per the city ordinance. And this will give you an idea of a larger view of the way the business would look. This is facing to the north right here, the top photo or the top rendering. The other one is looking at the side of the building, looking south where you have the drive-through that would come out this direction or exit out that direction. The revised plat shows the two-lot configuration. Essentially, that's what you're looking at right here. Staff also went and looked at the totals for parking, and we looked at the on-ground conditions, as it were, looked at the number of businesses that were within the existing structure, and then the number of spaces that were added and subtracted, and we feel that the totals here, 35 space capacity, can be met. There's also the additional number 40 spaces being added to this area up here as well. Staff in reviewing this proposal would make a recommendation for approval of the preliminary or the final plat of Northwest Corners subdivision and then also the site development plan. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thank you, Greg. Mark, anything from staff since publication and updated publication?
I would just remind you, Chairman, and the rest of the committee that there is my memo that came out and was posted yesterday. It does include the updated plat removing what was lot three, and it does address additional information regarding parking, and it also touches upon a traffic study and traffic agreement to be worked out in the future.
Okay, Thank you. Questions and comments from the commission, please, with regard to this case.
I just have a question, I guess, regarding the traffic. I know we do traffic studies. What is the sort of objective way we project, and it is a projection on future traffic flow? Obviously, a traffic from a project involving a church is going to be different than a Walmart, it's going to be different than a retirement center. They all have different, do they focus on the projected development itself?
Yeah, there's trip generation models that are out there and can be used. Brent can probably answer the question better than I can, but each use has a trip generation factor, if you will. That's how we come up with those.
Yeah, Mark is correct. There's the Institute of Transportation Engineers, ITE, puts out annually a trip generation manual, which is about this thick and bases traffic projections off the exact use. There's also trip generations based off just larger land uses, so a 50-acre industrial site as opposed to, say, a 1-acre commercial retail. But yes, that's the industry standard as how it's done.
Thank you.
So maybe did you have more on that?
Oh.
So maybe bootstrapping on that a little bit. So I know we had a lot of discussion on the last case involving this point of access, and that's really my focus and concern would be this overall point of access and the amount of traffic flow that ultimately is going to go at it. So I look at it and I say, okay, the world's changed. Drive-throughs like the bank are likely more intense use than they used to be. Nobody goes in the lobby to the volume they did before. They all go to the drive-up. We've got a proposed drive-up and drive-through here in the current case before us. We've got an unknown use in the, I'll call it, house lot to the east of the drive. And we've got the new senior living co-op facility to the north with identified but moderate traffic flow with another out. So as we look at those uses and part of that traffic study, how are we forecasting, for example, the unknown use? I guess from my perspective, I like to know we're going to look at the traffic study and say, in a worst case, highest intensity standpoint, what kind of volume could we have in this zoning? And if it went there, what it would it look like? And is that what we do?
Yeah, that was modeled with a retail use in the traffic study that was done for the initial Ewing development. So as Mark added, I think in his memo, the same traffic condition that we placed on the Ewing second edition when the second building came through planning and zoning will be placed on this particular site, that they will, before they can get approval through council, they will have to be party to that traffic agreement.
And I note that's still pending. Is that
correct?
Are we close to getting a?
It's just a matter of dollars at this point.
Okay.
We're trying to iron out with the developers on the Ewing, and we will get that worked out with Northwest Bank as well.
Somebody told me one time, if it's only money, it's not a problem. So I don't know what that means, but
they all might be
problem
different.
If it can be fixed with money.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask one more question tied to yours?
Yeah, please.
Brent, just so I'm clear, the there was one letter of protest, obviously, and there's reference
correct.
To the pending negotiation and traffic mm-hmm. study. Do you feel like what's pending would answer this, the concerns of
yes,
this individual?
Yes, so
this
Lynn,
individual?
Since you weren't around for that initial one, so we had Shive Hattery came in as a third party, ran a traffic analysis. We studied three intersections. We did Spruce and Middle, Northwest Bank entrance and Middle, and then Happy Joe Drive in Middle. They analyzed, that study did not include this site, and obviously that was not contemplated at that point. That study analyzed the full Ewing property at full build-out, which would have been both senior living, assisted living facilities, as well as that outlot at full retail build-out. It was operating at a level of service F at full build-out, which is the minimally acceptable level of service for a private driveway for an entrance, not a city street. City street would be level of service D. Given that, what it recommended, it did say that it would function at an industry standard level, but it recommended that prior to full build-out, once we actually had some exact traffic patterns in there, to update the study, see how it's functioning, and reevaluate the need for a potential traffic control device, whether that is a signal at this entrance, if it was a left turn lane down a Happy Joe, whatever it may be. We obviously did not anticipate that before they would even break ground on the first building at Ewing that we would have the second building come forward. So that's when that traffic condition got added to that particular project that, as Roy had said, has not made its way through to council yet because we're still trying to iron out the dollar amount. And now that this project's come in, adding more traffic potentially to that same entrance, we would make them party to it. And basically what we're working out is a cost share on a potential, whatever those that potential traffic control device ends up being, which it may end up being a signal here.
Can I ask, when was that study done?
Just a year ago, when we did the Ewing First development.
So it was a year ago, before COVID?
Yes.
Okay. And has there, anywhere in the traffic studies, have they looked at actual Spruce Hills, or excuse me, the West Bank entrance?
Yes, we set up cameras and took actual traffic counts at that time at coming that? In and out of this property. And then we applied a what's called a background growth factor. We have kind of established growth factors as to how much traffic increases in general year over year citywide, and then there's also one in middle, and you choose the most aggressive one, and they applied that. So yes, while maybe the Northwest Bank Tower drive-through might have seen an uptick in traffic recently, I'm sure that obviously that entrance functioned at an acceptable level when they were seeing more people in the bank itself. So I think the traffic from the tower is still probably pretty uniform. We're still talking really minimal amounts compared to what, we see on Middle Road, obviously.
I think the one word that you used that concerned me the most was retail. When you said using retail count for this proposed building, when the building also includes a restaurant.
The other lot.
So I know you said that for the other lot, adjacent or across from, but this building that's we're looking at today for traffic count, how would you be?
That would have its own use. Restaurants have their own use.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to at this point recommend updating the traffic study because we're already going to make them party to the agreement that the study would just tell us, hey, worst case is we got to put in a signal there. We're going to make them agree to that beforehand that if and when that does happen. So the other part of the agreement, not just the cost share, is the timing. I believe we have it at a max of 3 years after full build out or as directed by the city if we feel that it needs to happen sooner. So if this site goes in and the Ewing second site goes in and we're seeing issues in there, we're going to run that traffic study, and if it warrants it, we're going to apply that agreement immediately.
So you're talking about adding an additional stoplight there?
It could potentially have that, yep.
What's the regulations for distances between?
That spacing is almost identical to what we have right to downtown. This is about 310 feet, and we're at about 330 feet spacing.
That's about what I thought.
So it's doable. It's not ideal, but we can make it work, especially with the technology we have now to be able to coordinate signals.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't really predict what the study will say. So it could say that. It could say turn light.
Yeah,
it could say nothing.
The whole point of updating that study will be we'll have actual traffic patterns at that point. We will know whether people are using this entrance, if they're going out Happy Joe because they don't want to wait here, or if they're going out just Spruce Hills. So I feel that we're very covered with that condition in terms of making everybody party to that agreement.
So just to clarify, when you say everybody's part of the agreement, everybody's pitching in case you need a traffic signal there. But also, when you're doing the count or doing a study, are you going to be adding in the projected traffic flow for retail space, office space,
yes,
and restaurant,
yep,
from this
proposed
building?
Yep, break it down completely, yes.
Okay. Just thinking about a previous, other previous projects we've had or especially struggles with, I would say, guest amount on restaurants.
Well, at that point, Jess, it won't be guest. It'll be actual, because if you're not going to see the need for a traffic control device if they just put the restaurant in, that's not going to generate enough traffic to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I almost guarantee you.
Right.
So, we're talking that you're almost certainly going to have that building fully built out. So you're going to have an actual use, actual traffic patterns.
Yeah.
You won't have much in the way of projections at that point.
So you basically have pre-test and post-test data. You're going to have what was done a year ago and then what's going to be done after this goes live in 2 years or 3 years, whatever that date was.
I bring up Spruce Hills again. Can a traffic light go there if need be, or is that too close?
That would be too close because it's actually in the left turn lane there. We've got that long left turn.
That is a concern. And I also heard you say 3 years in there somewhere.
Sure.
So initially what we put was basically a sunset date on that agreement that, mm-hmm, at worst case, we would run the study at 3 years after full build-out to let the traffic patterns develop. But we also put it in there, if it needs to be done sooner, it could be as directed as by the city.
That's good, because we do know there are developments already that have gone in, and within a month or two of them being open, we wish we had traffic lights in places.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Especially since we don't know what's going in. Well, maybe we do, but how intense will the drive-through be?
I think we can safely say it's not going to be a coffee shop at that location, so I don't think we're worried about that kind of traffic.
Yeah, and certainly the stacking here is significant compared to other recent projects that you might see around town.
Okay, but if I understood you right, there is language in there that if, as soon as you see a problem,
we can order the traffic study to be done. Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I should say, without going into all the details yet, because we haven't finalized the agreement, the city is cost sharing in that potential work as well. So it's not being put by any means, 100% on all the developers. The city is cost sharing.
So, and just for clarity too, there would be no building permits issued until the agreement's in place, but the development could take place once the agreement's in place, and then the traffic study could indicate the need for a traffic control device or alternative way of managing traffic, at which point it would come in after the development's done, but in response to whatever changed from the previous situation.
Yep. And the agreement's crisscrafted it such that if it changes hands, if the owners change over on that first building, that first building is going to actually be condos. So in terms of the Ewing development, so yeah, we have that covered from start to finish.
Okay, good. Any other questions along that line from anybody here? No. Parking, Greg or others, you had noted that there were going to be, and Mark, you had noted 40 additional spots, and then the reference also said that Ewing was adding. So are those 40 spots intended to be utilized by both the bank building tenants and Ewing?
In my memo, I noted 40 to the north of the bank that's being added as part of the Ewing development. So that's just parking to the overall area.
I believe the 40 is for the sole use of Northwest Bank. It was a trade-off.
We're getting a nod over here. Okay. So what we're losing up front, we're essentially picking up to the north.
More.
Good answer. Okay. Parking. Greg or Brent, one of the two, it had mentioned no detention was necessary because of the, I guess, lack of additional impervious surface. So just give me a little insight on how
our ordinance, the applicability section of our ordinance is 10,000 square feet of impervious surface being added. They are only adding about 6,500 square foot of hard surface, so it does not require detention. A lot of the gray that you see is existing parking lot that they're reconstructing to meet new grades.
You don't realize necessarily when you drive by, went out there and looked at it. I mean, there is a lot of front yard parking lot out there that just kind of been sitting idle, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's kind of out there. Okay, traffic, impervious, detention parking, dumpster. So I look at this just from a overall traffic flow, and it concerns me that all the trash from this location, three different users, and if it's some kind of food, it could be quite a bit of trash coming back. They have to walk quite a distance and across what I think is going to be a relatively busy ingress-egress easement road to dump the garbage. I'm not seeing how that's, and maybe the engineer can address that when he comes up. I'm just not seeing how that's functional or safe for the users of who's got to run over there and drop off the garbage in the dark or in the ice, and you got cars swinging in and out. That troubles me a little bit. And then just a little bit about the flow of a drive-through lane in front of a walk-up. There's very little in front of the building parking. So the majority of your foot traffic is going to come from across the lane again, which has the rotation of cars coming in, queuing up for the drive-through, coming out of the drive-through, going to the north and west, back around to the east, and then back out to the south. So I see another potential for pedestrian car conflict just in that layout. So those are a couple comments I have that I'd like to have responded to.
And Roy, this is Ann. Where am I? There.
And there. We called Ann, not here, there. So this is Ann there, also known as Kapler.
Yes. I would just piggyback on your question then, to also overlay the traffic flow through the drive-through lanes from the bank and how that interfaces both entering the drive-through lanes and exiting the drive-through lanes, how that interfaces with all this new traffic that's in that same parcel.
Sure, I think I can answer a couple of those.
Okay.
Kalisa might have you answer the dumpster one, but Ann's question specifically about the bank traffic, you're not going to see any commingling there with the restaurant because you have that entire center bank of parking that separates the two. You know, you cannot get through physically. You have to come and then either go east or west to get anywhere near
the Sprint will have some kind of a break there so that you can't drive through if there's no cars parked.
No, but we can't require that, Ann. I mean, we don't get into designing the interiors of parking lots. If people are driving through parking spaces to cut through, there's ultimately nothing. We can't regulate that. And honestly, that could happen at any site that you want to choose. It could. They would not, I'm pretty certain looking at this, they would not be able to make that site work if they added a median in between those parking stalls. They don't have the width in the north-south direction. Yeah, and Roy, I guess your question in terms of pedestrian crossing, I understand the concern. I don't think there's much you can do about it. I mean, if
and with that dumpster location and the proximity to the adjacent property to the east, you know, it's, I don't know what and how that's going to develop, but now we've placed a dumpster, you know, kind of in their front side yard over there. The trouble with this is it's all basically front yard.
Yeah, you're going to have an exposure to it no matter what. And obviously it'll have an enclosure. But yeah, the pedestrian crossing, dumpster is one thing. The internal layout of the parking lot, it's not really atypical. You get as much parking generally as you can in the front of the building, and then you're going to have a drive aisle. I mean, it's no different than every Hy-Vee you've ever set foot in that has the main drive aisle or Walmart right in front of the building. Those places generate 10 times as much traffic as a drive-through that only really has most likely two crossing points at that point.
And perhaps there would be some opportunity for lining some crossing spots in the since that is a thoroughfare. Probably a lot of times I'll see it from those spots for disabled people specifically to get to the building. I mean, I don't know if that's something that they could consider, but it might be worth mentioning as a concern.
There is the handicapped are always the ones closest to the
There's a couple.
There is access aisles through there, correctly, but absolutely, please.
Kalisa McPherson with J&M Civil Design, and we're the engineers for the project. And I just wanted to point out a couple things. I know exactly what you're saying about the people walking across where the drive-thru is coming out. The one thing to keep in mind is all that parking out in the middle is not exclusively for those three units. Only 35 of the spaces are for that unit. So some of the folks that are parking there are still going to be going into the bank building. My guess is that the people that are using the restaurant and the other spaces there are going to park closer to that, and the ones on the, we'll call it the east and north side, are going to be the ones that are using the bank tower. I agree there's, people are going to walk across. I mean, you have that, like Brent said, any place you go where there's a drive-through. But I do think, there's a little bit of difference there. I don't see that whole thing being full of people, full of cars that are all using this particular facility. As far as the dumpster goes, the bad thing about it is, like we said, everything is in the front yard there, so there's not a good place to put it, and generally nobody likes to put that dumpster right out in front. I know the restaurant on the end is hoping to have space out front where they can put a couple of tables, and as everybody knows, you don't like to sit at your table having your sandwich and sitting right there looking at the dumpster, so we were trying to be a little bit, make it where it's usable, it's there, but it's not right up close and friendly with everybody that's using the facility. So, I guess, we can take a look at some other options, but that kind of put it out of the way over there, and that's why it's where it is.
And I sat there and pondered that same question. I don't have a great solution for you either. The only one I came up with was take it and replace your two spaces to the east of the drive-through and put it there, right there, because it, I don't know if you ever go to Wendy's. I don't go there a lot, but you can never enter Wendy's on, I'll call it, that side of the building, because the drive-through there and all the cars are going by that side. Nobody ever parks on that side of Wendy's because you can't get into the building. They all come in on the other side. They have doors on both sides, so nobody uses them. Those two parking places, I think, become kind of tough. That'd be the only place I'd move it. Then you're kind of closer to your front patio. You still got to cross the drive-through lane to go dump your trash, but you don't have to cross the main ingress egress in the dead or winter on ice. But other than that, I didn't have a great solution either. Yeah. I just know I don't like the way
would
it looks.
Would it be acceptable? I mean, if we did that, obviously we'd lose those two parking spots, so now we've lost two parking spots that we need. So
I think you'd be all right if you did that, because you're going to regain some of those spaces on that east side that you're going to lose because of the dumpster.
Mm-hmm. Well, eventually that driveway is going to go through there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's
at some place.
Right.
There might be a visibility issue there, though, too. For the cars coming out of the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
Could you maybe consider, actually, Janessa's idea, somehow hiding it over on the corner, and it would have to be hid because nobody in Bettendorf wants to see a dumpster right on the corner. But if there's a way you can landscape it out of sight, just another consideration.
Maybe on the west side,
like
with it back to Spruce.
Mm-hmm. Like where on the map it says C2 zoning, just to the right of that, kind of there in that corner.
Which map?
The one that he's on.
That corner, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty far back from the intersection. Truck would have pretty good access. Just the idea of having to cross that, what's going to be a pretty good thoroughfare there for people coming in and out with garbage, just looks like a tough deal. But anyone else
Joe,
from the...
Joe Slater's Northwest Bank Trust Company.
Let's get you over at the mic so we can pick you up. It's tough with the mask and then...
What's that? Yeah, I hear you. I just want to address the dumpster issue for now. One of the things we're with you. We want to find the best place, safest place. Just so you know, where the bank currently has its dumpster is all the way in the North Fordery in the far distance. We presented that to potential retail, you know, users, and they're like, that's, you know, way out there. So we're actually ending up with a closer spot for the bank than we are. That we currently have and going through lesser traffic. The other thing I want to point out is that that actually immediately to the east is a flag lot that I don't know if you can tell me how deep that is, but the point is you worry about the neighbor created that lot just so they could have a middle road address, and so there's going to be quite a ways before you see any development on what I call it the Samson lot. I don't know if that's the right way to refer to it, but the lot that has the house at this point. So I don't think that we've put, I just want to dispel the thought that, you know, we've put that at risk. And the last is, it's going to look nice. This is our front door. You know, so we try to find the right place to have it look good. I mean, we don't want somebody coming into a 45,000 square foot office building in a retail development and have a, you know, something that's not attractive and well landscaped. And quite frankly, we're going to spend money to make sure it looks nice architecturally.
I still agree that the greatest concern is safety for the people who are using it.
Yeah, it's just...
I make one other comment, and that is we talked about that, and that is that most of the trash is done at the end of the night when things are closed down. And so the time when there's traffic, they're not running trash out. They're doing it, for, you know, late at night. So I don't know if that helps or hurts, but that's the...
Well, at least you
do you think that
traffic.
All three of those buildings will have the same office hours?
Oh, I don't... All three of them. Which
well, I mean, not buildings, sorry, but I'm just saying they're all different uses, so it's
potentially different uses. But again, Mike
probably have different office hours, and
if it ends up being office, you're right. But again, office users have dramatically lower levels of garbage that they produce.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a higher level, if you had higher level things like another restaurant or whatever, which we don't anticipate, then they would have the same timing. But the other users should have a much lower trash production.
Any other? Go ahead.
So where the queue is coming out from the drive-through, and it's right next to you, we know where people are coming in. Is that going to be like left turn only coming out of the drive-through, so that, you know, they're not trying to whip-a-yui around and go out while someone else is coming in?
Well, it's wide enough to be two-lane. through there. That's a 24-foot access aisle, or actually, I'm sorry, almost 26 feet.
It's the way I'm seeing it, the way the front parking is set up, it's actually set up to accept the cars at that angle.
Yeah, it's angled parking. Front, it's not right. 90 degree. So I know, but you will have two-way traffic through there.
Wouldn't you want the people coming out of the restaurant to go left instead of turning around and going back out that way to the right?
I don't see why we would want to be regulating how traffic is going to circulate internal to a parking lot.
The challenge with going left is putting him in front of the door for the walk-up, so everything that goes left would go in front
of
the door.
Ultimately, it's whichever direction they're heading, they're going to choose that,
yeah,
that exit path.
Any other questions or comments by the commission?
I do have one question, and maybe, Joe, you might be able to answer this. You've gone from three lots to two, and looking like you're restoring the green space on the Spruce Hills side. Is there another building planned?
So we've been through several iterations of this. In our discussion with city staff, we thought it made a lot of sense for us to acquire the Burke property and close off. They've actually got the driveway that's pretty much closer to Spruce Hills, and they also have their drive-through that runs in the side lot. We entered into negotiations to make that purchase, put it into one, and build something on that facility. Those negotiations fell through. I can't predict what will happen in the future, and we'd obviously have to come back. So when we designed it, we had lot one, lot two, lot three, and then we had to redesign it for lot one, lot two, and three, and four, and when Burke wasn't going to sell. And then the city staff said, we don't want to have lot three the way you've laid it out because it is an unbuildable lot at that point. And we agree that we wouldn't do anything on that unless we came to an agreement with Burke and came back here for your approval for whatever was going to be put there. So for the purpose of this approval, we're assuming nothing, but if something comes together, we'll come back and work with staff and work with you to make sure we do something that fits the neighborhood.
And if something appears on lot two, then Brent, we're looking at a different discussion for that would be greater than 10,000 square feet.
Yes. Yeah. Now that may depend because the majority of the Burke property is hard surface now. Almost all of it is, actually. So again, it would be a net increase. They're grandfathered in with the existing hard surface.
Yeah, that's too bad that didn't work out. That would have been a nice solution to a lot of problems over there for everybody. So just kind of a challenging site. Anyone else on the commission? Ann, not here? Anything from you?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I'll look to the audience then. Anyone with regard, yes, sir, to this case?
Certainly do. My name is Ken Beck, 2507 Middle Road. And, I think Joe mentioned it right at the very end, make it fit for the neighborhood. Nobody once has mentioned anything about the mixed use of this area. And many of those that are sitting here today probably don't even remember back when this project for Northwest Bank came to be back in the late 70s. Back in the late 70s, Mort Levy owned that property and sold it, I assume, to Joe and Northwest Bank. And there were a lot of concessions that were made back in that day in order to make it fit the neighborhood. One of them, I assume, I wasn't there, but Gene and Ruth Rittenmeyer, who was a council member for many years, discussed this, and I'm sure made the bank set itself back as far as it did. If you take a look at where the bank sits, it's pretty much in line with the Sampsons or the Albee property as what it was originally, and the church was the insurance company back in the day. And if you step back and take a look at all the questions that you've been asking here today, if this was a green site, say down Middle Road somewhere, would you have half the questions you're asking right now? And that's because we're trying to fit a square into a round hole. If you do your homework and go back about 20 or 25 years ago, Walgreens was looking to do the same thing at this site. And fortunately, the Planning Commission back in that day said, no, this is not a good fit for this particular site. Take a look at the properties that are around here. We've got a church on one side, we've got a church on the other side. We've got a property that we don't know what's going in there yet. We know it's going to be retail of some sort where the Albee House is located now. But not once tonight has anybody mentioned about the houses that sit across the street. You know, how does this project conform with this neighborhood? And as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't. You're turning a mixed-use area into strictly commercial. Now, if the purpose is to drive the houses across the street out of the area and put commercial up there, you're doing a good job of it. But the point I'm wanting to make, first of all, is the fact that you're taking a site and turning it into a commercial strip where it's a mixed use. We've talked about traffic here tonight. I'm an engineer, and matter of fact, I understand how these engineering studies go. But right now you're approving a site plan on what ifs are coming down the road. We don't know what the traffic pattern's going to be yet for the Ewing property. Do we have a master plan yet for what the Albee property is going to turn into? Where's the traffic going to come in and go out of that site? We don't have that information at hand, as far as I understand, do we, Brent?
Ken, I'm not sure which one that Albee property is.
That's the Ewing's property to the right of this.
The last house. Lot three? No, there has not been a plan submitted for that yet.
So right now we're planning on a project that's going to generate more traffic than even the Ewing property likely would be the senior. And we're approving this without knowing what the whole master plan is for the area. And to me, it would make sense as an engineer. You want to know what you're going to do with the whole property before you start pigeonholing these specific piecemealing these projects into place. And back to traffic studies. You know, for instance, in the county, we did a traffic study back in 2018 at the intersection of Utica Ridge Road and 240th. And I don't know if you probably don't know that intersection by that name, but if you go up on Utica Ridge north of Forest Grove till you come to the first stop sign, which is probably about 2 or 3 miles up there, back in 2018, the engineering study came back and said, you don't need a four-way stop. Okay, so we did not put a four-way stop in there. Well, just this past 6 months, we had multiple collisions at that particular location, and we're putting in four-way stops. They change. The traffic patterns change. The traffic studies change. So let's say you go ahead with this project, and we get all sorts of traffic, and you put a traffic light there, how's it impact us? Our driveway sits almost right where that traffic light's going to be. And how's that going to impact traffic coming around the corner? We mentioned this over a year ago about that, and unsolicited, our postal carrier brought a package up to our door and told my wife, he goes, you know, if I ever get hit, it's going to be delivering to your mailbox, because we have a rural mailbox there. I really would like you to stop and contemplate and think of all these discussions and do your history to go back and look at what the issues were for the Walgreens site. Why did they not approve it? And think about all the concessions you're having to make and how this is changing the character of the neighborhood. Do you think we want to go look at the back end of a northbound, I'll say cow, but a building and a trash dumpster that's sitting along Middle Road? I'd welcome any of you to come pick up the trash we currently get in our front yard, even though Wendy's is away and Joe's place is away. You know, it's not a horrendous amount. It's not like looking across from Walmart along the interstate there. But if we have a trash dumpster sitting up there, how many places in Bettendorf do you see the back end of a building as you drive down Middle Road and you see a trash dumpster? Is this really what we want Bettendorf to turn into? I mean, if we want this corner to look like Devil's Glen and Middle Road, you know, then just buy out all the houses and turn it into it, because I'll tell you what, that's what this is starting. And once you start, there's no turning back. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this? Yes, sir.
Again, Joe Slavens, president of Northwest Bank and Trust Company. I'd like to start by thanking staff and Ken and his concerns for expressing them. When we started in this project, we got together with staff, and what we wanted to do is make sure that we weren't putting a square peg in a round hole. And I think based upon the report that you received from city staff, that we are conforming to all of the requirements, whether it be parking or traffic, use. It's the land is zoned. We are using a conforming use, so there's no exceptions that we're asking from a standpoint. We, again, staff helped us get to that point. The other thing I would note from a historical standpoint, well, I don't remember the Walgreens. I remember as a kid going through the process of getting the tower built. One of the things I would note is that where the easement lies on the east end of the property was always planned to be the access to the Albee property. So that's always been anticipated, and that's not a change or anything new. It's just been formalized now. We are very concerned, I guess it's not exactly the right word, but we are in total agreement with being a party to the traffic agreement. We've had a presence at this location now for almost 40 years, and there's nothing more important to us than the safety of our customers, the people who come to our building, and everyone in the city of Bettendorf. So if and when the time comes that it needs to have a traffic signal, we're encourage it and would be a part of making sure that that takes place at the right time. I would make one, if you don't mind, correction about the change in banking, just as a side note.
Sure.
Yes, there is. There's a consistent amount of drive-through traffic, and it's gone up just a little bit since we've changed our lobbies. But the reality is, in the last 40 years, this was invented, and our traffic counts are down everywhere you go, whether it be the lobby or the drive-through. We actually have several lanes, and it is unusual for us to have anyone more than use what we call the deal drawer, which is the first lane. If I built one today, I would not be interested in putting in there the number of lanes that we put in 40 years ago. So I don't have that concern, which really leads me to probably the biggest point that I want to make with respect to these things, and that is that the investment we're making here today or proposing to make is about 1/10 of the size of what we already have. Why in God's green earth would we want to put at risk the investment that we have today as a bank or the investment that we have as an office building owner for this project? We see it as an enhancement to what we have, not a detriment to the investment that we've made. And again, I guess what we're trying to say is that's an expression of our judgment of what we're doing. Again, we would not want to negatively impact our building or our business. This is, it's going to be owned by the family that our family. The last comment I want to make is that this is an investment, again, that's conforming to the zoning that, in my opinion, hopefully will begin to help find others that make investments in the area. You can argue where things stop and start, I guess, with respect to uses, but you have an entire Cumberland Square, you have Wendy's across the street, you have the development that sort of wraps around Spruce Hills, that this is entirely consistent with. And again, stopping and starting, I'm sure, is always it, but we do have a line there. And I guess our hope is that we seed reinvestment in what I think we all call the Golden Triangle. Things get tired in older part of towns. This is a 40-year-old building. Many of the buildings in that part of town are older than that. And whether there's a, we hope and we believe that we'll be a part of reinvestment, just like we did when we did our Locust Street building about 15 years ago. We started a redevelopment, if you're familiar with, in Davenport, with Locust and Washington Street. If you drive that today after we did our building, there was substantial investment made for strip centers, like Jimmy John's is in one. There's a Taco Bell that was reconstructed. We were a part, if you will, of spurring redevelopment in a tougher part of town, and we would like to hope that this will do the same thing in the Golden Triangle. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Can we do a rebuttal? Rebuttal, go ahead.
In all due respect, Joe, I just heard investment in their property. I just ask you, where's the investment in the community? How does this add to investing in the community? I think that's part, you know, maybe it meets the requirements, but take a look at the area. How does this really reflect on the city? That's your job as city, pseudo-city officials, is how does this impact the city, not how it impacts an individual owner. And I appreciate everything that Northwest Bank has done all over the city, definitely. I do respect that. But I'm looking at this in a particular, we have to laser this down to this particular, how does this improve the quality of life in Bettendorf? Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Anyone else, excuse me, in the audience with regard to this matter? Any other comments from staff after comments from the commission and the audience?
The only question I have, and bringing up something that Ken mentioned, the back part up against Middle Road, I do think that that's a departure from what we typically see. And I just wondered if there's something that could be mentioned about that.
There was actually, and there was a development just approved a little over a year ago. If you look at the Giefman development right at the corner of Utica Ridge and Spruce Hills, and I would actually like to see, I don't think we had it in the renderings, just what the rear of the building is going to look like, but I don't think it was in there. I think it was from the side and the front, but it was a similar situation, and that question came up, and if you've driven by there, I think they've done a really nice job of trying to present it as truly a, you know, a double-fronted building, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, Travis Dean with Bush Construction. We did kind of try to address that. Okay. Basically, the same materials that are on the front of the building do wrap the entire building. So we were aware of that issue with being kind of in a unique situation where the back of the building is fronting that road. A lot of situations you see a retail center like this, the backside is kind of lesser quality materials. So we are wrapping the similar, nicer materials around the whole building.
Yeah, go ahead. You had more? Thank you. No, I guess in that same context, as I was thinking of what's up and down Middle Road, yeah, predominantly things would face the street, and I'm not sure in this case if that's a good thing or a bad thing that you've got the back end. On one hand, if I were the neighbor across the street, I'd be looking at that drive through and the headlights, and I'd say, yeah, that's not too appealing. The good news is those lights are not shining directly on your house and will be turning the other direction, and they're probably minuscule compared to what's already traveling on Middle Road. I'd probably also like to see a darker back of the building, frankly, in the evening and things than the lights of an ongoing building, because you do have a pretty dark area there. That's a matter of taste, but I'm in this case, I might think that the rear of the buildings actually might be overall more attractive from a what do I see from the other side of the street than the front glass storefront and everything else. So thinking both ways on that, I do think there is some advantage in this particular case of having it backed up. The dumpster, as noted, is a concern. Frankly, it's a concern wherever you put on this lot, and I do kind of think that Janessa's idea wasn't really a bad one to put it over on the other side, the west side. That's over by a noisy corner. It would be set back far enough to be out of the flow. It wouldn't be facing the neighbor's house across the street when they empty at 5 in the morning. It's already at a busy intersection. That would be one thing I'd take a hard look at. I appreciate Ken's comments regarding the overall mix of the neighborhood. I'm not sure I share the observation to the same degree. I look at 3 out of the 4 corners are pretty well, I'll call it non-residential. So 75% of that intersection is something other than houses, and it doesn't take much before you get into that commercial building for the golf course. Not saying it's bad to have houses there by any means, and one of our, I think we continue to struggle with that balance between mix of uses, between single-family, multifamily, and commercial, and how do they coexist. We're actually trying to get it to coexist more in our current direction. By all means, admitting that it's a difficult thing to do, to get the mixed uses to live together. So I don't know that it's that inconsistent with what's up and down the street. I look at virtually the entire length of Middle Road. even all the way back to 18th is really the last place you see residential. You got school, you got the workout center, you got a church, you've got the bank, you've got future commercial retail, you've got the church again, you've got some multifamily housing, and then you've got commercial up to Devil's Glen. So that whole side of the street, I think, is kind of well determined to be, that's the future, is going to be commercial. I don't think it's impossible for the other side of the street to continue in its residential direction, but there may be a tipping point where somebody does come in and make you a big offer for that corner because they'd like to have a nice big commercial development and there's nowhere else to put it. I don't think we're there yet today. So those are just some comments and my observations as I'm looking at it to share. I wouldn't call this a slam dunk, in particular the dumpster, but to Joe's point too, I think it does meet some current criteria, and then you know you really look at the grounds for on what basis would you deny it, flavor of neighborhood. I can't quite personally get there, but those would be my comments.
Roy, this is Ann there.
Yes, Ann there.
I would just add a comment about the exterior of the building. So as you were traveling down the Middle Road corridor, I went to the east, and if you think about that corner where the Vibrant Credit Union is at Belmont Road, just east of there, there's a building.
The workout place.
Yep. 24-hour fitness.
Yes.
Right.
Right. And it's been designed in a way that it appears to have two fronts, even though it doesn't really. The back of the building faces Middle Road. There's what appear to be windows there, but they're not all functioning as windows, and it kind of softens up the appearance of the building. That's just one thought I had. And the other thought was that there is landscaping plan to be put in across the back of the building, but there it appears to be very small bushes that probably aren't going to soften up the back of the building, and perhaps if there was different type of landscaping there that might serve that purpose and make it not look like a I realize there's nicer materials being used, but it might just soften it up a little bit. Just two thoughts I had on if there is going to be a building there, maybe ways that could make it more palatable to travelers on the road or people in the neighborhood.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ann. I actually thought of that same building across from Linquist Ford and thought that's a building with the back to the road, but it doesn't feel like the back of the building. That's a good point.
I'm sorry, I'm supposed to interrupt.
No, yeah, go ahead.
I was able to dig up a rendering of the south side of the building. I don't know if I can.
Yeah. Greg, can you?
Give it to Greg.
I think we can try and put it on the overhead. Greg can turn that on and maybe pick it up off your phone there.
Hit that green button.
If you get that figured out in less than 20 seconds, we're hiring you.
I'm expensive.
But you're good, right? Yeah, okay, we'll see.
I don't know how to make that. Is there a way to make it larger for you folks?
If you can zoom in.
Maybe by bringing...
Yeah, there you go. I guess the point is that you can see that we've added exactly what you were looking for, and that is that we are added the I'll call it a false front. So that's, I'm going to get embarrassed myself from a construction standpoint, but that's not real glass. It just looks like glass, so it looks like a star front.
Closed. Your phone went dark.
What's that?
You got to touch your phone.
There we go.
But that's our intention.
Does it look like you're going to have signage then on the back of the building,
That'll come down to the working between the tenants and what the city permits, from that.
From what Ann there was saying, I'm thinking about that building. It does look like, you know, the front from the back because they have the signage and they have some of these same features. So
that's what we're trying to do. Again, I've got a big investment in the big tower there. I'm just as concerned as you are of what more people are going to see that side of this building than they're going to see the front of it.
I'm glad to see you've.
And so that's my interest is having this look nice and.
It does look nice, Joe. Thank you.
It's not
shown on the landscape plan, but is there room for landscape on that side of the building?
Between the drive-through and the sidewalk area? Is that what you're talking about?
The back of the building, yeah. Is there enough room there?
You're in the setback and utility easement there.
Easement? So really no?
Not much.
Here, no.
To address that?
All right, thanks. That's good. Yeah.
More questions? Do you have more questions?
I would just say I'm new to the commission, so bear with me. I feel a little like our hands are tied in a certain sense that this building does fit the zoning. And so within our ability as a recommending body to say yes or no to something, we're somewhat limited when the zoning fits, correct?
Correct.
Yep. When I was looking at the recommended action, number three, I had a couple questions on that, if you guys don't mind. So should the owner of lot three acquire the adjacent lot currently addressed?
That's moot now, though.
Yeah, so that,
that went away with the revised site plan.
Should this, should you approve it for or recommend it for council, you would perhaps want to strike that condition because it is no longer pertinent now that we have a new plat.
Clarify that before we did. Okay. And then my other question was, there was some discussion about the Albee House. Is that still owned by the residents or is it sold to someone for development?
That's part of Ewing.
It is part of Ewing already?
I believe so. I don't know.
That's the brown house.
What was that?
Albee's house been sold as part of the Ewing development?
Yep.
For the joint venture?
Yeah. It's all part of the Russell Ewing property now. It's lot three, Russell Ewing.
Okay, and you mentioned that the lot two of the Ewing Bettendorf addition was developing more quickly than anticipated, and it's to be townhomes?
No, so we that was already approved by this commission six months ago.
I'm trying to remember.
It's the assisted living memory care unit of that development.
Okay.
So the first building is 62 units, something like that, of just senior living. And then the assisted living is the building on the to the southwest of it. But that has not gone through council yet.
Isn't there a lot or land? Yeah.
The two buildings will be in here. This is pretty.
Okay.
It will be something at some point, but because it's not part of that, it's
going to be. I guess in regards to what Ken was saying, I do have some concern just not knowing. I mean, we can't. It's not really fair to stop Joe because we don't know what Ewing is going to do. But I do want to do our due diligence and make a good plan for the city and for safety of the roads and everything. It's just. I wish we had some idea what
We have restricted, they have no access from Middle Road.
Okay.
So we know that access has to come through the easements that were platted as part of the Ewing. So that's why the traffic agreement is placed because the traffic is being directed to that existing entrance, which is a three-way entrance. You know, it's got a left out and a right out. So that's what the entire purpose of that agreement, knowing that if anyone wants to come on the middle from any of these developments, it will be at that location.
That helps. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move for approval for case number 20-0559, subject to staff recommendations.
059 or 058?
I'm sorry, 058.
058.
058. The reply.
With the striking of.
And with the striking of item three and staff recommendations.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think you'd want to. Strike item three and replace it with the recommendations.
With the
traffic recommendation that's in my memo posted yesterday.
So amended, yes.
And can we add anything about the dumpster location or is that just a recommendation?
And I would just recommend that staff works with them during their final development of the plans because we actually don't have anything in the ordinance that would restrict where it goes other than it has to have an enclosure.
Yep.
So we'll work with them to find the most logical and safest location.
And I want to pause you just before I look for a second, but we had made reference to a letter that came in today. It had been distributed to us, but had that been published at all? Probably not, just feedback. So
yeah, I don't think we were able to put that on the website due to the date that it came in.
What I'd like to do is read that quickly. Just to make sure that it we got a letter today, email from Sue Ellen Johnson, and we've all read it, but I hadn't had the opportunity to make it part of this record, so I want to make sure we read that, and her interest in the case has been expressed on the record. So I'm writing to express my concern regarding the three-unit strip mall development with drive-through proposed for Northwest Bank property at Middle Road and Spruce Hills Drive. On the heels of rezoning for development of senior living facilities on the landlocked property behind the bank, and with the prospect of a, quote, strip mall, unquote, development already in place for adjacent property, funneling all the traffic from these proposed facilities through the current driveway from the Northwest Bank building onto Middle Road will make an already difficult traffic situation in that area nearly impossible for the residential neighborhood that exists onto Middle Road and uses 23rd Street for travel, which is essentially, I believe, the area that Ken was describing for us, not to mention for anyone trying to turn left from the Northwest Bank area onto Middle Road. Looking at the back of a, quote, strip mall, unquote, buildings, plus having commercial trash services right there are all practically on top of the sidewalk along Middle Road, cannot be good for the prospect of the residential character of that area. And dealing with all these issues would certainly harm the property values for all those in that area. According to the city engineer, a, quote, traffic study, unquote, was completed, suggesting that there is not a traffic problem in that area and additional traffic can easily be accommodated. The senior living facilities haven't even been finished yet to see what the traffic impact will actually be, so it seems premature to suggest that additional traffic from two proposed strip mall developments won't be a problem. And adding a traffic light at the bottom of a limited site hill at Happy Joe Drive is not going to help these people, those people who haven't have to exit from residence along Middle Road, nor the people who already contend with the terrible traffic flow from the traffic light at the corner of Middle Road and 23rd Street. Neither will be placing a no left turn sign at the Northwest Bank Drive be helpful, as anyone who sits in traffic on Middle Road farther down waiting for a car to make a left turn into Starbucks off Middle Road can attest. It is my hope that the Planning and Zone Committee will consider their blanket approval for this development. Thank you for your consideration. Sue Ellen Johnson, 2360 Renwood Court, Bettendorf.
I will second the motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-058 with the replacement of item 3 with Mark Hunt's memo information. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The motion is recommended for approval. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 20-059, subject to the staff recommendations.
Second.
I would just mention again that the reference to lot 3 is no longer valid in that condition.
So we have a motion and a second to approve case 20-059, subject to staff recommendations with the elimination of item 3. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Case 20-059 is recommended for approval by the City Council. Okay, thank you, everyone. With that, we would move to commission update. Mr. Hunt.
Yes, thank you. I want to make sure I get this right. Ann Thayer, also known as Ann Kapler, has been reappointed to this body, and I would want to thank her for her service and congratulate her back for more more work, unfortunately. So
thank you.
Yeah, would have been awkward had you not been tonight, you know, to try and explain that. So
well, I actually, Mark, I thought it might be easier for you to decline if I wasn't there.
Right. Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah,
that's why they pay you the big bucks. So I would remind the commissioners that on 10/26/2020 there is a zoning workshop jointly held with council at the waterfront. Would love for you to attend. You've seen lots of emails from me and surveys, and
I did not see the survey. I was going to mention that to you tonight. I've never seen a survey. I don't know where that came through, but I did not see a survey.
I'm not past my probationary period yet. I have screwed up somehow. I will fix that, and you will
saw
have
a text
a copy.
Referencing it, but I never saw the survey. So
I also wondered about that.
I got it.
Yeah,
I mean, I did mine, but
and it took a really long time. I wasn't happy.
Yeah, it was a lot of questions about Roy.
That's why I didn't get it. Okay.
Is the agenda?
So I do apologize for that, sir, and I will rectify that.
Just make sure I didn't.
No, for the meeting, Mark, on the agenda, it just had one item, one paragraph listed for.
Yeah, we kept the agenda pretty brief just because it's really going to be an open discussion. So you'll have to hear me talk a little bit. We may have a guest speaker, and then it's kind of just going to be some dialogue. So we kept that agenda pretty general for that purpose.
Like an open mic night sort of thing.
Yes, yes. If you have talents, please, yeah, practice ahead of time. Just a housekeeping note, next year's meeting schedule is coming out. It will be the same meeting schedule. Internally, we would like to adjust our internal deadline. That really doesn't affect you. You're still that third Wednesday, but we would like to adjust our internal deadline for people like Khalees, just to give us a couple more days. We're seeing an uptick in just workload, and so give us ourselves a couple more days to do our due diligence on the internal side. And just again, that, you know, as you probably know, having done this for a while, we're ending the year of construction season, so we may be getting a last few kind of requests in as we head to construction season. Then it might slow down for a little bit, which would be okay with staff for a break. That is all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anything else for the good of the order from commission staff or the audience? All right, then we are adjourned.